Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Jonathan Blevins. We'll hear a reflection from Father Emmanuel and much more. Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Jonathan Blevins. You might know him as Bearded Blevins on Twitch. He's going to talk about gaming tonight, some positive things and some negative things about gaming, and just how pervasive it is in our culture. And the gospel's got to be there to be leaven in that dough.
And Bearded Blevins, he is a great resource when it comes to gaming and really putting a Catholic perspective on everything. So we're now going to a reflection with Father Emmanuel.
My name is Father Emmanuel Mansfield. I'm a Franciscan Friar in Yule. I just want to share something about St. Francis and his impact for us today. You know, I think that one of the great gifts of St. Francis was his witness, because it wasn't just his words, but it was his life that spoke to people. And so I'm a Franciscan, and people, when you wear a habit, they watch to see if your life is kind of consistent with what you say. And it was beautiful. I was with a young woman on a plane recently. I was on the aisle and she sat in the middle, and we didn't talk during the flight. She fell asleep, and then at the end of the flight, she started crying, and I could hear her crying. And I just said, "Are you okay?" And she told me that she had a difficult relationship with the person that was picking her up, and she didn't seem to want to talk about it too much. But then eventually we got around, and it was with her boyfriend. And there's just been some problems in the relationship, and she was very afraid of having to speak with him. And I just looked at her and I said, "Do you pray?" And she said, "I do." And then I said, "Well, you'll be okay." And I said, "And what are the chances that you'd sit next to a priest on the plane?" And she said, "Yeah, I know. I know." And so what was it? I didn't say much to her. I just cared about her. I pointed her to God, and I left it, you know, with him. And I think that's what young people need today, is to know that someone is with them and will point them to God. It happens by our life primarily, and then by our words. So God bless you, and get out there and share the good news, because it is good news for many, many people in difficult struggles. Amen.
Jonathan Bearded Blevins, welcome back to Life on the Rock. This is your third appearance.
Third time.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So we've talked about your online community with Switch and the platform, and your evangelization online, and truly bring, you know, Christ out into that world, that dimension. And then also the podcast of reviewing of movies and television shows. But now we're just kind of on this episode just going to be talking about games in general, maybe some games coming up in the future, about maybe the positives and the negatives of just kind of the gaming scene. But I wanted to ask you real quickly, how long have you been involved with gaming?
With video gaming?
Yeah, just video gaming.
My goodness, I think when I was 8, 9, or 10 years old, I went to my grandmother's wedding. My grandfather passed away, and she got married to this great guy. And I went to their wedding, and I didn't understand what was happening, and I was super bored. It was in the middle of nowhere, Georgia. And her next door neighbor brought over a Nintendo.
Oh.
And I played Super Mario Brothers. And that was my first time ever gaming. Between 8, 9, and 10, and I'm 35 now, so 20 to 25 years.
And it all clicked.
It all clicked.
Yeah, and so I know growing up too, I was a little bit into gaming and all that, and you know, it's easy for a young, I think, person, you know, to just start playing games at random. You know, and some of them are good, some are, you know, I think of like football, Madden, that's probably pretty harmless.
Yeah.
But others, maybe it's like, you know, the morality and everything. But kind of overall, what's been your maybe outlook on gaming through, you know, the years you've been playing?
Yeah, so You know, I grew up playing video games here and there, you know, an hour during the week, maybe 2 hours on the weekend, mm-hmm. you know, and that was kind of, you know, I'm 35, so I was alive during the rise of video games, right? We went from like Super Nintendo to, you know, which is a little cartridge you plug into, to, you know, putting discs in to like RPGs that had four discs and 3D. And so I kind of lived through mm-hmm. all of that. And my parents were very, very good about making sure that we had a balanced life.
Yeah.
Right? So we were going to church on Sunday, where my brothers and I were playing sports, or had to get good grades in school to play games. But I saw friends that would just play all the time.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And it would affect their grades. It would affect you know, their ability to participate socially with their friends or in school. And so I've seen the good and the bad of gaming.
Yeah.
But right now I feel like it's very easy to look at as a whole and say that there's good things about it, there's bad things about it, like with almost anything. Mm-hmm. And how do we as Catholics enter into that space?
Yeah. And it's interesting that you would bring that up, because not everybody thinks to go that route. But how many people are in the gaming world? It's in the millions. I don't know, maybe billions.
Yeah.
But it's a lot, you know, and a lot of them, you know, probably have never really heard Christ, or, you know, they know something about religion, but not much. You know, or they're not interested, but you can bring that interest. You can even bring that, you know, appreciation of faith. And because I think there's good people online, and then there's some kind of villains too, just nasty people that will say nasty things. And, you know, you don't have to go down that route, but you can be that light.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you can be the light in the darkness, I think, mm-hmm. Of the gaming world. It's interesting, statistically, if you look up what, like, just the definition of video gaming in general, most people don't look at it as, like, an app on your phone.
Right.
Because gaming can be just an app on your phone, it actually skews the stats quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It makes the gender split between who plays video games way closer to 50-50, because a lot of people, like my wife, will play Candy Crush or Scrabble. On their phone, which is a video game. And so there's a lot more people gaming than you think, and a lot of people out there who are participating in video gaming in some way. Facebook had Farmville back in the day, if you remember that.
Wow.
A lot of adults who might be like, I think gaming is lame or bad for you, and they might be playing games more than the people they're worried about are playing them. So and now the average age of someone who plays video games for more than 20 hours a week is like in their 30s.
Really? Okay.
So people look at gaming as like this young thing that kids do too much, but no, in reality, it's
more adults.
Most of us are doing some type of game, throughout the week. And so, how do we balance that out and make sure that we're living, you know, the life that Christ is calling us to live every day?
Yeah. Well, I always think with gaming, and whenever I think of gaming, I don't really just think of an app, but like having a console, you know, but, like a Nintendo 64 or something like that.
Sure.
But I always kind of think of that probably more men are interested than women. But is that true? I don't really know.
No, so that's a great question. A stereotype that is for sure going away. It's really closer to 50-50 now.
Is it really?
Yeah. Wow. And so if you're talking about like your average gamer, we're talking about online gaming using an Xbox, a PlayStation, a computer. No, it's way closer to 50-50 than you would think. And again, a little bit skewed higher age.
So what is the highest? Is it in the 30s?
It's in the average gamer is in their 30s now.
Where would like college students rank?
And what do you mean?
In terms of maybe the demographics of who's playing.
I mean, definitely a lot. Most college kids are playing game of some kind. Yeah.
And that could be a problem in school.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, and there's so many kinds, right? You've got your online games, Call of Duty, Fortnite, you name it, where you're consumed and you're trying to win. But then you've got just like fun games like Guitar Hero or DDR.
Oh yeah.
You put those in a college dorm, like people are staying up all night playing those games.
Well, I think too, especially with the gaming, some games are like designed, they're almost like a party game, that it's a social thing where people, you know, just kind of come together and hang out or whatever. It's not like a big, it's not like you're just using your brain. It's just something to enjoy. And then, but other games are actually, I think, pretty challenging, that they do make you think if it's like solving a puzzle and all that, how do you approach those games?
Yeah, I mean, there's, so here's, I think that in general, a majority of people who are not super into video games, I'll use my parents as an example, right? They're in their early 60s, late 50s. Now they understand it because they have two sons, three really, who all play video games in some capacity. But they had no idea the different kinds of games that are out there, right? Yeah. So there are games that you're playing with your friends and it's just as, if not more social than playing basketball with your friends outside. Like obviously it's important to be physical and be healthy. And so that's good. Go outside and play basketball, but you're bonding, you're communicating over trying to achieve a goal in this video game. And then there's other games where you're just having fun, right? And that's good too, that there's social aspects to that. And then there's a whole nother kind of side of just like, really there's these new video games out there that are, it's really the same as reading a book. And I know, and I'm a huge book person, right? But if you're reading a book, like I think of Lord of the Rings or Chronicles of Narnia, I just read to my kids recently. You're on this journey in these books and you're so excited and you go to sleep and you're thinking about like what's gonna happen in the next chapter.
And,
and that's kind of like there's these games out there now where a lot of the game is reading.
It's a storytelling.
And it's a storytelling game and there's graphics and so it's evolved so much and so quickly over the last 50 years that I know that there's people watching this right now that are like, you're crazy, it's not but really, I mean, there are video games out there where if all the texts were put into a book, would be longer than any Harry Potter book ever written.
Yeah.
So it's a part of it. And there's something about that story and there's a hero. And it's fascinating.
It is. Well, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get into more of some of the new games coming out.
Sounds good.
Well, Jonathan, games fall into a number of different categories, but do you know of any religious games?
Well, there's a new game coming out within the next year that's based completely on the Bible. I forget what the name is of that game, but that's kind of exciting. And then I'm super thrilled to be a part of the first ever Catholic video game.
Wow.
It's called the Acutus game. It's made in Unreal Engine, which is the same company, the same engine that makes Fortnite and other, you know, some of the biggest games of all time right now. It allows for the capability of virtual reality.
Yeah.
And the Acutus game basically, you're playing as the character Blessed Carlo Acutus, and you're traveling through time, exploring different saints and kind of adventuring through their life and learning about them at the same time while competing and completing different quests, etc. So super exciting stuff.
And it's fitting to have Blessed Carlo Acutus. One, you know, he was devoted to the Blessed Sacrament. He had a great love for our Lord, but two, he was also well into computers.
Yeah,
you know, that's something that he understands today, you know, maybe even the trials and temptations that come with that. And so it's a fascinating game to go back in time and to, you know, explore the lives of the saints. Again, it's kind of like a storytelling where you can rediscover that. And so for a lot of us, maybe we never even heard of that.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about it for a couple of reasons. One, it's just about time that the Catholic Church is in something in this space, right? This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. There's, you know, way more people playing video games than even watching TV. So, so let's be in that space. Let's create something good and true and beautiful that will lead people to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, it's just, it's going to be really good. And what better story outside of Scripture is there in our entire church than all the stories of the saints? I mean, it's unlimited, right? The amount of stories that we could do with this game, and the game is going to be one that updates all the time. And
so if you can
think of a saint in your head that you would like to see in the game, you could see it in the game someday, which is incredible. And so I know that one of the things that is going to be in right away is that Carlo Acutus is going to, you know, find St. John Paul II during World War II, and he's going to be sneaking around, you know, trying to avoid the Nazi regime as he finds, you know, St. John Paul II, who at the time wasn't even a priest yet.
Wow.
And then maybe he has a conversation with him and learns about that, and all of a sudden he's skiing down the slopes with, you know, St. John Paul II. Right. And so you think of any of these awesome stories you have of the Saints, it could be in this video game, which is super exciting.
Well, there's a lot to explore when you go into the lives of the Saints.
That's
a lot
right.
of them are missionaries. And, you know, the trials they encountered and everything. So what would, I kind of assume, what would that game be kind of rated as, maybe in content-wise?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. It could be rated mature if they wanted to go into some of the more hardcore stories of the Saints, right? We've got Saints with incredible stories that would not be appropriate for kids. But no, we're looking at everyone.
Everyone.
Because we're going to the Saints that you and I have heard of before. You remember the game when we were kids, Oregon Trail.
Yes.
Remember that game, right? We got to play in school.
All the time.
Yeah. This person died of dysentery.
Right.
Oh, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You find out and you're like, oh my goodness, that's horrible.
A rattlesnake.
Yeah, a rattlesnake. This game is cool because when I was a kid, like, I thought Oregon Trail was awesome.
Yeah.
But I played it at school. And when I got home, I was like, Dad, I want to play this game. This is one of those games that, like, could be in the Catholic school system and in different dioceses. You know, it could be used in confirmation programs to help kids figure out who their confirmation saint should be. But at the same time, will appeal to, like, the average gamer who just wants a really good game with great graphics and good stories. So that's what excites me about this game.
Because you said earlier, I guess the creators of Fortnite are doing this game.
Well, so it's made in the same engine. The same technology used in Fortnite. So the graphics are out of this world. You can go to the website. If you just type in Faith Games, Acutus Game, you'll see the website. And you'll see, like, the graphics are better than any other really, like, virtual Catholic graphics I've seen.
Yeah. So what are maybe some of the positives you see with this game, but also maybe some of the negatives?
Yeah, I mean,
really kind of draw those out.
So the positives are anytime that you can use something that is intriguing to young people to get them to love the faith is a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. I just got these trading cards, these Saint trading cards. Huh. My kids are really into Pokemon cards right now. They're 8, 7, and 3. And so I gave them these Saint trading cards. I don't even know who makes them, so I'm sorry I'm not giving them a shout out. I should. And my kids are like, oh, this is really cool. You say Teresa Lisieux. Oh my goodness, I want to read about her. And they're reading it because they're excited about Pokemon. The same kind of thing's going to happen. Kids are excited about video games. And so they're going to want to play a game. And when they're learning about something cool and something that we believe is true, mm-hmm. that's a plus, right?
Right.
And really the only downside I can think of is that, you know, any time in front of a screen is not as good as in time in front of the Blessed Sacrament or maybe outside with our friends. So in moderation, right? But really, like, I'd much rather have my kids playing this game than any of the other games that are out there.
What do you think is a good, maybe, time limit for kids?
So depending on age, right? Depending on age and really depending on the kid and their productivity level and how much they, you know, their addictive tendencies are.
Yeah.
My kids right now are 8, 7, and 3. My 8 and 7 year old plays 0 games at the moment. And my wife stays home. That's part of it. If she didn't stay home and she worked, we'd have to probably allow some more. I think like 30 minutes a day isn't bad.
Yeah.
And then that just extends as you get older, as long as, you know, responsibilities are being fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And because one of the things I know is a lot of the times these games now, they keep like a track log of how much time you're investing, you know, into games. And I guess it's one thing to do it for business and all that, but when it's just kind of your free time, those numbers can be pretty scary.
Like, I would say to any parent, when you're letting your kids play video games, or even if parents themselves are playing, there's a part of it that's you know, just luxury and just being, I'm using the wrong word, but just leisure. Mm-hmm. There's part of it that's leisure. That's fine. That's great. Use it for your leisure time. But if you're going to be putting more than your normal leisure time in, like, you better be doing something to love people throughout it.
Yeah.
Right? So, and there's a lot of games you can play where you're playing with other people and you can affirm them, you can catch up with them the way you're doing a phone call.
Yeah.
But if you're just sitting in front of a screen for hours and hours and hours a day and you're doing nothing, those hours can stack up and it can be pretty dangerous.
I'm isolated, absorbed, self-absorbed.
For sure.
But, Jonathan, where can we find out more information about all this?
You can find out more information on beardofblevins.com, and you'll see things about the podcast that we talked about earlier, as well as this awesome new Acutus game.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Jonathan, thank you for being on Life on the
Rock.
Thank
you, brother.
And God bless you.
Thanks for having me. God bless you.
Now, a was struck by those stats he gave us. Mm-hmm. The average gamer's in their 30s. It breaks down 50% men and 50% women. But also that more people are gaming than watching television.
Yeah, I didn't realize
what's this country coming to? No, but I was really struck by what he said, how it could be used to give all this information. Like if you had some kind of game involving the life of a saint, how much you could learn about the mm-hmm. faith and or about the gospel or about the history of the Old Testament, you know, what went on there and stuff. I never thought of that aspect of
it. Yeah, and I think too, games can do a great job actually of telling a story and kind of building in that interaction of, you know, like a campaign, and you know, there's certain objections, or not objections, but objectives, and you know, there's a mission. And so I think there's, in one sense, yeah, there can be an educational value, even maybe even a spiritual value, if it's leading you to God and deepening your faith. Now, we also know, on the other hand, games can be, they can just kind of wreck the mind.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can all fall into all sorts of bad habits. Right. But again, I think the basic thing is having moderation, perspective, you know, yeah. Sometimes maturity. And again, some kids are really detached. Others have maybe more of an addictive tendency to games. So I think as a parent, you always have to monitor those things. But I think, again, you know, the church is going into a new direction of gaming, never been done before, of really trying to evangelize in a world that needs to be evangelized.
With the game you talked about, the mm-hmm.
Blessed Carlo Cutis. Yeah.
You know, I checked out of gaming, I think Pong, Breakout, Apple Band, maybe Tetris in college a little bit, but so this is uncharted territory for me, mm-hmm. but yeah, the gospel always has to be proclaimed in all these media forms. So it's up to Catholics like you at home maybe to, mm-hmm. Maybe somebody's got some good inspirations for a game that'll teach people about the faith, about the gospel, about the practice of our religion. So I want to encourage that, of course. And may our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He send His Holy Spirit into your hearts to proclaim that gospel in the culture. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Crossing borders in the penitentiaries. Blue and the black with a badge and some slacks. It don't matter what you look like. God has your back from the Genesis. Pinpoint the nemesis. Pinned to the ground by a Jewish girl in Bethlehem. It's not irrelevant. Keep with the Messiah wrote. Reverence the God, man. Find your hope in higher roads. I'm 9 to 5 and it's defining rhyme. But retirement, but I admit my iron mind is finally that define what the lies of men have power within peace. I call the Mother Mary and she finds me when I'm down to sin.
Yeah. Like an onomatopoeia, joyful noise written. I'm spitting till the day I see her. No king, queen, or Caesar can't compare to a creature selected in perfection to birth the savior and teacher. Mama, we need ya. This world's gone mad. They still killing babies, still abusing the badge. Still thinking that one life matters more than the last. Hiding behind these ignorant comments and hashtags. We pass that. We look for your visions and apparitions because they show us you've always listened. We know you keep these things close in your heart. And I see Madonna, cause we don't know where to start.
Oh, Mama Mia, Maria, you carry God in you. Always devoted, immaculate, this Delia. Anointed senorita with more soul than Adidas. You mother, the soul healer, the son of the soul leader. The one who's sitting high in his throne like nosebleeders. Only one to ride with me like we in a two-seater. We owe you the utmost, the most just won't see ya. Even though you're so close to the most, we still reach ya. Your will is God's will, that's something we don't teach ya. Apparitions at different lands with no visa. Always putting in work and I know that we all need ya. Even when they throw stones in the old, we foresee ya.
Okay. Dallas think you're trying to catch an interception. With all of these Hail Marys we keep tossing. What they keep fumbling is that he chose you. Particularly to carry out the winning touchdown. Point toss for my soul, here it goes. It'll always be the head that'll win the Joe. But I feel Satan would attack with a stunning blitz. That's when you're coming for the save, Michael Vick. I pray to serve you as you deserve with all of me. All I am, taking me to the Super Bowl promised land. And I vow to you that I'm at your command. Even even if these haters don't care to understand.
You're the spouse of the spirit, the daughter of the father, the mother of the son, you do the highest honor. Mother of the king, that makes you queen of heaven, perpetual virgin, immaculate conception, assumed into heaven at the moment of your death. The Bible says that all generations call you blessed, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The one that caused your death for 3 days in the tomb. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death, so we can see the pearly gates when we lay to rest. Blessed Mother Mary, let me proclaim my love for you, just like your only son, Jesus Christ, wants me to.
Maria, Maria, Virgo Prudentissima, ora pro nobis, Mater Clementissima, en nomine Patri, et Filii, Spiritu, Sancti, tota, toca et Maria. Long before your breath, yeah, he was on the guest list. Eve couldn't touch this, Isaac on the rectus. He was on a death list, you arrest the rest of this. Joachim and Anne were blessed for the rest of us. Abortion on demand, we talk about the man. BLM, Planned Parenthood, got a plan. Don't worry about the clan, don't worry about the damn. Go to your mama, it's all about the fam.